Live from the hills of Judea is the Land of Israel Fellowship with Rabbis Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel.
Hi, everybody. Here I am with Jeremy. You hear us? Give me a thumbs up if you hear us. Okay, it is so, so good to see all of you right now. Really, 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 really good. It's like a tremendous comfort seeing your faces. I'm right now just scrolling through with Jeremy, looking at your faces, feeling the love that you're broadcasting to us. And really, all of your faces, we're looking at them right now. You know, they say the word for face is panim, and it shows what is bifnim. That's the same root. You know, it is able to express with a slight nuance on your face. You can express everything that's happening in your heart. And I'm feeling that looking at all of you. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about. I'm so grateful. I want to start off thanking all of you for reaching out to check on us, or at least me. I don't know if, Jeremy, you've gotten a lot of check-ins, but to encourage us and pray for us. I apologize if there's anyone I haven't gotten back to, but I tried to at least send that GIF, you know, that picture of the soldier throwing a heart instead of a grenade. It looks like he's throwing a grenade into the heart. I just like that one, but it's become one of my favorites. But I see them all, and I'm grateful for all of your messages. And, you know, as you can imagine, we are just juggling so much here right now. I imagine it can't be easy being any of you either. You know, it must feel helpless seeing this all from afar. Is this difficult for you guys being over there? Do you feel like in some ways, do you feel like it's more difficult for you being there than being here? Raise your hand if that speaks for you. Wow. There's a lot of hands going up. Some are not going up. And I also get that, you know, I get that too, believe me. You know, but to some degree, I'm sure you must feel like there's nothing that you can do from over there, but just to watch and to pray. But the truth is that when it comes down to it on the deepest level, I'm not sure that there's really anything that any of us can really do other than that as well, to watch and to pray. I mean, it's hard to know, you know, where I was going to start this fellowship. I had scripted and thought of so many ideas on Friday, but they all seem so last Friday, you know, like a different era of time. And there's different things that I want to share with you and to talk about. Or maybe on some level, there's nothing really that we should be talking about. I mean, really, perhaps this isn't even the time to talk. I mean, it feels like we are replaying the Exodus from Egypt in a very different way, but fundamentally the same. And just as we sat around our Seder table on that first Exodus from Egypt, singing Hallel, the song of pure, unadulterated praise, before even seeing the greatest of the miracles. Yeah, we saw some great miracles. We did. We saw the 10 plagues, but we didn't see the parting of the sea. We didn't see all that was in store for us. But we were singing Hallel. And, you know, during the Exodus from Egypt, God himself took out the entire Egyptian army without us raising one finger. And as the sea parted, Moses called out to the nation, Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. Hashem will do battle for you, and you will remain silent. And I think we are approaching those times where we will have times that are meant for silence and times that we will have no words to even speak. But I don't think we're there yet. Possibly by the next fellowship, really. Who knows? But right now, I think we are in a time of prayer. We're in a time of repentance, and we're in a time of strengthening and fortifying our faith. We're in a time of strengthening and fortifying each other. And I know you are all rising to the occasion very much when it comes to that. So I thought that I would start perhaps with my experience, since, let's say, I don't know where to start this story, but let's say Friday morning. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm off about any of the details here, as I am crashing very hard right now. I'm like really crashing very hard. I would be surprised if I even got 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm basically running on endorphins and fumes and faith. So anyways, I woke up early on Friday with Shiloh because he was in a lot of pain. I've never seen such pain with him before, being that he had broken out in what looks like a very strong case of the chicken pox. I was going to show you some pictures about just how bad it is, but we're experiencing enough heartbreak already. Dvash had it a few weeks ago, and her case was so light compared to his. It's been very difficult to see him like this. One of the most difficult things I can remember being through in a long time. But anyways, I drove into Efrat for morning prayers and to get some food for our Shabbat meal, as it was going to be a very rare, only our family Shabbat, just me, Shane, Dvash, Shiloh, Mordechai, Shimshon. I mean, really, with Shiloh in that condition, we had little choice. But it was sometime that Friday that the intelligence warning started coming in that Iran was about to attack. The Biden administration, the Wall Street Journal, the Israeli government all said that an attack was imminent. And, we're all just sort of digesting this information, which, by the way, has been the second consecutive week we've been warned of such exactly that imminent attack. And then we hear the news that this holy, sweet, beautiful young 14-year-old shepherd boy, Binyamin Achimeir, went missing. I recognize him. I recognize that face. I just know him. I know him. And you could just see the goodness on him. He was tending his flock in the rolling hills of the Shomron and the beautiful pastures of Samaria, and his sheep returned home, and he did not. Which of course triggered search parties and expeditions. But when they geotracked his phone to a nearby Arab village, everybody was bracing themselves for what ended up being true, was the case. He was viciously murdered, beaten to death with rocks by a group of jihadist Arabs. And it was demoralizing and devastating and just so sad. And as we were all grieving over this news, Shabbat begins in the land of Israel. And in my heart of hearts, I really didn't think that the attack was going to happen over Shabbat. I mean, I wasn't sure of anything, but it just didn't feel like it. Also, the way that Iran was warning it's almost like if they were really going to do it, they wouldn't send the warning. I don't know. So it actually ended up being quite a peaceful and nonetheless a very heartbreaking Shabbat. Just imagining the grief of the parents of this sweet boy and our own grief. And Shiloh, he was at the height of his pain. I spent 5 or 6 hours with him writhing in pain, sleeping intermittently on, he was on my chest the whole time. Neither Shane and I got much sleep at all, and neither did much of the country, much of the Israeli army for sure. There was a very high readiness alert. And then Shabbat comes and comes to an end. And within an hour or so, it's all a little bit of a blur to me, but within an hour or so, unless I'm mistaken, the news comes in that the attack is happening. I mean, it wasn't speculation. It was actually happening. After all the false calls and the empty threats, the attack was underway. Hundreds of missiles, they told us, are on their way. Drones, we don't know what's on those missiles. Nuclear, I mean, I don't need to tell you. You, I'm sure, were experiencing it all with us. And so people respond to this differently. While I didn't spend, more than a minute here or there on the internet, at least at first, you could sense a tangible fear. Even a disbelief within the country. I think much of the world was bracing themselves. I'm not going to lie. I really felt real fear, more than I would have liked. After all, in my mind, we've spoken about this so many times. Fear is the true gauge, the true measuring stick to determine our real level of faith. The greater the fear, the greater, on some level, I believe, the greater the fear, the greater the lack of integration between the faith we know in our heads and the faith that is successfully infused into our hearts. I mean, if there's one theme that returns again in this fellowship, it's that. But listen, we are human. And there are going to be times that we will feel real fear, no matter what. Even people of the greatest faith, there's no question that King David grappled with his own fears at times. But what I've seen happen is that at the very least, your faith, it mitigates that fear, it like buffers it. It takes the edge off it enough that you can overcome it and operate from a place of courage and faith from within that fear. And I'm grateful to say that Hashem blessed me really with exactly that experience. Oh, I'm eager to hear Jeremy's thoughts on this and what happened here. But I prepared the safe room during this time when between the missiles on their way, I'm preparing the safe room for my family while broadcasting to them what I believe was a relative calm, in order to spare them the terrors of what could be. And by the way, Shayna met me right there. She really kept it together in a beautiful way. And so I sprung into action. I set up the pack and play. I set up the mattresses. I stockpiled food, diapers, baby wipes, tablets for the kids to watch to distract them, fire extinguishers, medicine. You can think you're ready and prepared, but until you actually see the missiles start on the way And it's very real. Do you really see what needs to go into that room and what needs to happen and how you're really not that pre at least I didn't feel like I really prepared it. I was not prepared beforehand. There were rumors that there were already attacks happening on various settlements. Rumors that I'm grateful to say they ended up being false. They said that jihadi terrorists were storming the settlement of Beit El. I'd love to meet that guy who invented that piece of news. But you know what? It was actually helpful because it forced us to really prepare for the worst. Simultaneous attacks of hundreds of weaponized drones and intercontinental ballistic missiles, while at the same time having our villages and homes flooded by jihadi terrorists. It's not like my idea of a good time. Anyway, so I personally was preparing for everything. But really, there's no end to the preparation. I constantly think of King David going to war against Goliath. He did not bring one stone, he brought five. But he didn't bring 10 or 20. He brought five. Meaning, I could have prepared and prepared, but at a certain point when the missiles were about an hour and a half out, I really encouraged Chayna to go to bed and I sat down to pour my heart out to Hashem. And I was talking to Hashem while I was preparing for all of this, begging Hashem, asking Hashem to protect my family, to protect my people, to protect Israel. And I felt super unworthy. I don't feel like I've been rising to the occasion, especially lately. But on some level, I was like, well, that's probably good. When you feel like you're actually worthy, then you need to be calibrated. There's no way we could ever be worthy. But about 1 a.m., everything was silent, like very still. And it was time, I was just pouring my heart out to Hashem. And ultimately, I knew that all my preparations were meaningless without his protection. And so I prayed. And then I grabbed my book of Tehillim. It's a Chabad book. I don't know if you can see it, but it's really too blurry. Anyways, it's I was reading the psalm. I opened the book, and I just sometimes when you really want to just hear from God, I just opened the book and said, Hashem, please open it to the right page, to the right psalm that is supposed to be what I am supposed to express. And the psalm I randomly opened to gave me so much peace and so much strength that it felt wrong not to share it with others. So I opened up live broadcast on Facebook. And I know this is a 5-minute thing. Maybe I shouldn't have actually put it here in this thing, but I actually wanted to share it with you real time to show you my message. I don't know if you're like on Facebook, if you saw it. So here's the message that I shared.
Shalom, friends. Ari Abramowitz here in the hills of Judea. And just, made the final preparations here to make sure my family is comfortable in our safe room if it comes to that. But, there's missiles on their way here, drones, missiles on their way here. And we all know what this could mean for Israel, for the entire world. The fate of mankind in some way really does hang in the balance, and I don't think I'm being overdramatic by saying that. But we should know that there is a creator of heaven and earth. God gave us the Torah. Hashem is with us right now. And he said, V'hisha'amda levatenu, every generation they will rise against us and seek to destroy us. And he will protect us. And he has protected us all of this time. And I actually am comforted by the words of the prophets, because who would have thought that a nation could have their temple destroyed as prophesied? We'd be exiled around the world together. And then not only would we be exiled, but we would survive, which no other nation has. Then we would be ingathered from the exiles, exactly as the prophets said hundreds of times throughout the Bible, gambling the veracity of their prophecy on these impossible to imagine prophecies coming to life, coming true. Our ancient dead language would be revived. And then as we return to the land, the nations would seek to divide our land. And they will blame us and call us thieves for stealing our indigenous homeland. And all of this is happening right before our eyes. And we know the end. We know the end. And the end is that Hashem will protect us. And I just sat here to open the book of Psalms. And as I opened the book, it just randomly opened to Psalm 91. And I read it, and it was like really, it spoke to my heart. So I thought I would read it for all of you in both Hebrew and in English. So I'll start with Hebrew. Yoshev beseter elyon betzel Shaddai yitlanan Amar la Adonai machsi umetzudati Elohai eftach bo Kihu yetzliach mipach yakush midever havot Bevrato yisach lach v'tachat knafav techse tzina v'sochra amito. Lo tirami pachad laila michetz ya'uf yomam. Midever ba'ofa ya'eloch miketev yashud v'tzoraim. Yashud tzoraim. Yipol mitzadcha elefu rvavami menecha elecha lo yigash. Rak be'enecha tabit. V'shilomat rishayim tireh. Ki ata Adonai machsi elyon samta me'onecha. Lo te'una elecha ra'a v'nega lo yikra bo'alecha. Ki malachav yitzvelach yishomrecha b'chol drachecha. Al kapayim yisanucha pentigof be'evan raglecha. Al shachal v'fetan tidroch tirmos kfir v'tanin. Ki b'chashach v'aflateu asagbeu ki yadashmi. Yikra'eni v'anehu. Imo anochi b'tzara achlatzeu v'achabdehu. Orach yamim asbe'eu v'areu b'shuati. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the protection of the Almighty. I say about God, He is my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I trust. For He will save you from the fowler's trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with His pinions. You will find shelter under His wings. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. The plague that stalks in the darkness, nor the pestilence that ravishes at noon. Though thousands fall upon your left side, tens of thousands on your right, it shall not reach you. You will only look with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. For you said, God is my refuge. You made the Most High your shelter. No harm will befall you. No plague will reach your tent, for He will assign His angels to you to guard you wherever you go. They will carry you upon their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on lions and vipers. You will trample on young lions and serpents. Because He is devoted to me, I will save him. I will make him safe, for he knows my name. When he calls upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him honor. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. So, the thousands fall on your left side, tens of thousands on your right, it shall not reach you. If there's anyone that we can rely on, it is not the Biden administration and it's not the Israeli government. It's no flesh and blood. It is only the God of Israel, creator of heaven and earth. And He has promised us that He will protect us and that He is with us. And that's where I put my faith. And I look forward to seeing all of you on the other side, because I really believe with all my heart that directly correlated to the level of fear and instability and anxiety that we all feel on the other side of this will be peace and tranquility and love and goodness. That's what's waiting for us.
I hope it was okay that I shared that with you. But that's what I was experiencing at that very moment. So, Shayna was actually still awake after I encountered that psalm. Understandably, it was sort of hard to fall asleep in those circumstances. And so I called her in and I could feel her joy at my excitement. She didn't even know what I was excited about, but I'm excited. And that's a good thing at that moment. And so I told her about it and we prayed it together, hand in hand. And it was a really beautiful moment. Then I randomly opened the Psalms again, and it spoke to me almost just as deeply, and it gave me comfort and strength. I don't think I had ever experienced the raw potential of the Psalms, of the Tehillim. I was reciting Psalms as my children were born, as my father passed away, during the highest and the lowest moments, but never did they have an effect on me as they did that night. Last night. We're talking about last night. Anyway, the next psalm, hopefully we'll have time at the end and we could go through some of the psalms together and connect with each other and I could hear your thoughts and your psalms, but let me just get back to the story now. So we heard the first boom, like boom, and then the second. And then the siren went off. 7 years at the farm, never have I heard a siren. I was even doubtful whether they had one. And it went off, and we hustled the children into the safe room. Shayna flawlessly grabbed Shiloh and brought him in there, and then Mordechai Shimshon, and I picked up Dvash and of course like smacked her head into the doorway. Thankfully she's like a deep sleeper, but you know, we all went inside the safe room and closed the door, and after about a minute of sitting there, I realized that it was not the place for me. I've played it through in my head what I would do in the scenario, and I said, yeah, it's probably important for me to be in there to encourage them, to protect them from within the room, but I realized it's not the place for me. My place was to be outside. I don't care, sirens, not sirens. I'm not a safe room guy. You know, I'm supposed to be protecting my precious jewels, my family, from, you know, from outside of them, patrolling the house. And so that's what I did. So I stepped outside and I looked up, and what I saw right above my head was nothing short of a miraculous, breathtaking, breathtaking. You know, I was like, should I have gone to see the eclipse? This eclipsed the eclipse. No question about it. Maybe, I think. I mean, hundreds of missiles flying across the sky, huge streaks, you know, others being launched from the ground to intercept them. It was almost like there was a war of the angels, you know, of celestial beings happening on our behalf. I really felt the shield of Hashem's protection. And, you know, I was going to take out my phone and video and, you know, but something in my heart told me not to. There are probably enough videos happening. I just needed to be in it, to be present, to be looking at it. I didn't even feel like I deserved to gaze upon it. You know, I thought of Lot's wife going through my mind. I don't know. But anyways, I mean, the stakes were just so high. It made the Qassams from Hamas and Gaza feel like child's play. Like I was feeling sentimental about the Qassam rockets. You know, here's the video of the first time that an intercontinental ballistic missile was intercepted above the atmosphere. Sent out an energy force field, like boom, right there. Anyways, I was feeling like grateful for the faith that Hashem had given me. And I really felt like the faith that I had in my heart was a blessing from Hashem that I didn't deserve. Well, the whole time I didn't even realize that Jeremy, he's the Rebbe. Oh my God. I hear him here as I'm telling the story, because I haven't spoken to him since then, and he's hearing my story, and I hear him laughing because his faith trounced my faith. I mean, it trounced it. He had the faith literally of the prophet Jonah, who went to sleep in the middle of a biblical level sea storm, unlike anything that the weathered pirates, seafarers had ever seen, and he just went to bed. Here is Tehillah's message that she sent to me and Shayna.
The amount of convincing I had to do to get Jeremy to the Mamad to begin with was ridiculous. It's like he's been preparing for this for his entire life, telling us that there's going to be this Armageddon with Iran. And I didn't hear the azaka. I wake up from my bed shaking from all the booms. And then I'm like, Jeremy, there's booms. He's like, no, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Go back to bed. And then I look out the window and I see explosions in all of the sky. And I'm like, Jeremy, there's explosions. And he's like, no, we would hear on the Kesher. I said, the Kesher's not even on. And I turn on the Kesher. They said, like, Yesh Azakali, Kanes Lamamadi. And I'm
the Kesher's
like,
the walkie-talkie.
They're saying this. Azaka. He's like, no, go back to bed. I got all the kids into the Mamad and then had to like drag him into the Mamad.
Hey guys, how are you? Good to see you. Wow, exciting days, fun times. What is that? Put in my ear? Okay.
This is Ari's set up here.
Your ears are too big for me. I'm just going to keep it like, it's fine. Can everyone hear me? Everyone can hear me. Excellent. Okay. So could Ari and I be more different? My response to the interballistic continental missiles and all of that was pretty much to just roll over and go back to bed. I had literally no fear at all. I know what I know, and I feel what I feel, and I just knew that we were going to be protected. I knew that nothing was coming onto our farm. But Tehillah, I mean, she's hearing the siren. I'm like, nah, Tehillah, just go back to bed. It's going to be fine. And then, of course, she makes me get out of bed, and we take our kids to the safe room. And at this time, I know that Ari is patrolling around the farm, looking up at the sky, freaking out about all of this, and not freaking out. Okay, he's freaking out. He was, I could tell. And what was happening then is that I decided to stay in the safe room, because I felt like leaving my children in the safe room, especially Emunah. I could see that she was really, really nervous. You know, she's 11 years old. all these stories, the terrorists, the Hamas. I just wanted to be with my family. I just stayed in the safe room and I was just projecting what I authentically felt, which was 100% security. There was not even, my heart rate didn't even go up. I knew that everything was going to be all right. It felt like a show that was being put on for us to watch and enjoy. And I want you to see, because I didn't realize how much we could have enjoyed it. But now looking back, look at what, this is what was shot at Israel from Iran. Then missiles were also shot from the north in Syria, from Lebanon, from Yemen, from the south to the north, hundreds and hundreds of missiles. It's just, it's kind of beautiful. It's like fireworks. It was radical to realize what Israel came under such fire. And it turned out that one of those missiles or one of the drones actually fell in Iran, killing more people in Iran than all of the 300 some odd missiles didn't do any damage in Israel. And so this one was sent to me by Ishai, because this is literally what Ari was able to see with his own eye. This was captured right above the Judean mountains. So this was filmed in Hebron, which is maybe 20 minute vertical line from our farm. And check it out. It was like Star Wars above our farm. All of these rockets were being shot. All of these rockets were being shot down. And that was right above our head. And every time the rockets get shot down, a huge explosion is heard. But to understand, when a rocket is shot down, it's not like it just evaporates into the air. We now are finding these giant ballistic missiles all over the country. One of them fell in the Dead Sea. That's a piece of one of the rockets that was shot onto Israel last night. Now, you don't appreciate how huge that rocket is. So I found another picture that if you look at the rocket, do you see the people there that are behind the terrace? Can you see those little people right there? Exactly. Those are human beings. Do you realize how huge those missiles are with those little, little people standing next to them? So Israel was doing like under attack in a way that it's never been in all of Israel's existence. And I don't know how to explain the calm that came over me. It did feel, looking back now, a little bit like Jonah. Everyone on the ship is freaking out. WhatsApps are going all over the place. And I'm just like, I think we should all just go back to bed. We got a big day tomorrow. We got the fellowship tomorrow. Let's be well rested. I just went back to bed. But now, sort of looking at things as they've already occurred, I just want to point out an analysis. If you look at it, and we do believe that, you know, there are kind of puppeteers that are running the show here. What we see in the media, what we see in the news, that's what's been decided to reveal to us. They've chosen what headlines to display. And what's really happening behind the scenes, we really don't know. But if you think about it, Iran, they attacked Israel. So good for them. They're able to save their honor. Israel, we shot down all their missiles. So good for Israel. Now we have a restored confidence in our defunct IDF leadership. So that's good. America, they stood with Israel. And now we can once again rely on the Biden administration. And it's like every single thing that was supposed to fall out according to their plan really fell out. The European allies, they stood with Israel. And so it's like something is going on here. Iran already declared that their revenge for what Israel did was already done before they even knew the damage that their rockets, the rockets are still in the air. And they're like, all right, we're done. That's our revenge on Israel. It almost seemed coordinated. And when you look at the scenario, it's hard to think that it wasn't coordinated. And so I didn't know that then, but I knew that it wasn't time yet. It's getting close. If you don't see that it's getting close, you are blind, brothers and sisters. It's gone global now. It's not just in the Hamas and in Gaza now. Now it's gone global. England was involved. America was involved. Jordan was involved. Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, Egypt, Iran. It's already now going global. But in the meantime, it seems as though the puppet masters, they still have some control over what's happening in Israel. but to know as a believer that the puppet masters, they are puppets in the hands of God. And to know that this process is unfolding all for us. It's unfolding to awaken us, because for too long, to be a Jew is to be a part of a religion. To be pro-Israel is to march at rallies. And what's happening now is our emunah is going to be activated. Do we really believe, or are we just checking our broccoli for insects? Are we just kind of going through the rituals and through the traditions? Finally, Israel is now forcing itself to believe. I just saw this morning in Tel Aviv, people were out on the beach doing their synchronized dancing as they do in the mornings and their exercises. Israel went right back to normal after being barraged with 300 intercontinental ballistic missiles. The very next morning, the seculars in Tel Aviv are displaying that in their heart of hearts, they're believers, because they know that Israel is going to prevail. We know that God is going to protect us. What we saw last night was the greatest demonstration of any anti-aircraft, anti-ballistic missile defense systems the world has ever seen. And so all of these technologies have come to pass just in time for Israel to be able to defend itself against the nations of the world. And so it's funny to see Ari's response, and he's reading the Psalms and he's getting his safe room prepared and he's running and bumping his kids' heads into the doorpost. I don't know. I just felt like, let's just go to bed. God runs the world. It's going to be okay. But a time is going to come when we are going to witness with our own eyes that it's not the Iron Dome system that's protecting us, but nothing will be able to protect us other than the God of Israel. And as Pesach is coming closer, the tremors of the earthquake are getting stronger. And so I would encourage all of us to prepare, get ready, because the earthquake's not just going to hit Mount Zion and the Mount of Olives. It's going to shake the whole world. And all of us are going to need emunah. All of us are going to need to activate our faiths and to know that God runs the world. And as his children, we will prevail. We will find our way through the flood and end up in a new Jerusalem. And so here's Ari. Love you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jeremy. You know, I can't help but to think about what he said. I don't know. Is it more faith? Is it less faith? I can't help but to think it must be more faith, but we're not supposed to rely on miracles, meaning we're supposed to do our piece and let Hashem do his piece, and we're supposed to take the proper precautions. I don't know. It's just very interesting, the difference between our two approaches. And I wonder, do you think it's always like that, Jeremy? Or is that like a good summation?
No, I would say usually you're the faithful one and I'm the one taking action. There was a unique thing that happened last night.
Very often I just, that's true. Anyways, okay, I guess when the time comes, everything will become clear. So, but anyways, what happened there was a miracle. And while I was humbled in gratitude to Hashem, in my heart, I felt very uneasy about this miracle because it is way too easy for us to believe that it was our weapons and our army and our military prowess, our might and the strength of our hands that have brought us this miracle, that it wasn't even a miracle. We're just that good. You know, a friend of mine even said to me, he said, we're playing exactly into Iran's hands. He said, Iran is like, they're like 2,000-year-old Persian chess masters. He said, they knew we were going to take out their general in Syria. That's why they put him there. They dangled him there right in front of us, knowing we would attack, knowing that they would do this. They had the whole thing planned out. And, you know, there's a lot of, like what Jeremy said, like a lot of different conspiracies happening about what's really happening. And you know, ultimately, like, conspiracies, I think, are in some way a way for us to feel like we're in control. We're in control of the way things are happening. We understand the way it is. And listen, I'm not against conspiracies. I believe in my share of them for sure. But those conspiracies should not ever get in the way of our understanding that even if there are conspiracies, it's only the thoughts of man trying to get wise and smart. And even the smartest Persian strategic chess master, is nothing compared to the God of Israel. And that's who was really running the show. But anyways, you know, I was uneasy about this feeling that we would have, like, oh, look at how great our defensive systems are. It wasn't even a miracle, because in my mind, it was an absolute miracle. Hundreds, drones, intercontinental ballistic missiles, all of them shot Israel, and Alecha lo yigash, they did not arrive at even one of us. Thousands to our right, myriads to our left, you know, and then here we are thinking that it's because of our own prowess. And if that's the case, then we're missing the whole point. The only way the point will actually be made is when it is crystal clear to us, crystal clear to the entire world, that the God of Israel is our only shield, that he is the rock of our salvation. And so, my friends, this is far from over. I just saw that Israel is saying that we will respond within the next 48 hours. And Iran has said, I think CNN did a broadcast, that Iran has said that any attack on any of their assets anywhere, whether it's Syria, anywhere else, they will consider that an attack on them. That this yesterday has shifted the game. The game has changed. And any attack on any of their assets is an attack on them. So if Israel responds by attacking Iranian assets in Syria, now this is an attack on them. Anyways, the whole world is going to realize that Hashem is running the show, and this is far from over. And the greatest scene, the magnum opus, arguably the greatest moment in history, lies ahead. And with my whole heart, I believe that it is not far off at all. And so this is the time for prayer. This is the time to study the words of the prophets and the sages. And I'm just going to throw a few of them at you. There's so many, you know, verses and blessings. I'm not even scratching the surface. And so many of you have sent me verses from the prophets of strength and of consolation and of encouragement. So many of you. There are a few that really, really touched my heart. Here were a few sent by our beloved friends, Tara and Nancy. They shared from the book of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man inside him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling to all the people around, and it shall also be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. And on that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All who burden themselves with it shall be grievously hurt, and all the peoples of the earth shall be gathered together against it. You know, they sent a few other ones. With your permission, I just want to read through verse 9 in Zechariah. So I think this would be 4, right? On that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness, and I'll open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the nations with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength through the Lord of hosts, their God. On that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the trees and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the peoples around on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. On that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he who is feeble among them shall be as David on that day. And the house of David shall be like a divine being, like the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass on that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. That's powerful. That is powerful. Tara, I see you there. Thank you for sending that. It spoke to my heart in a very deep way. You know, I've read it before, but reading it now, this is the time I needed to read it. And here we are in Judea. You know, here's a prophetic teaching that I saw. It was on, someone sent me a link to it, and it was really powerful. I'm just going to give it over in a shorter way. I mean, it's so outrageous that a teaching like this should even be shared, but here it is. Rabbi Yitzchak said, the year of the Messianic King is revealed. All the nations will be provoking one another. Persia will provoke Arabia. Arabia will go to Edom to take counsel from them, and then Persia will go back and destroy the whole world. How is it? Destroy the whole world. Who could even do that? But anyway, all of the nations will be in a tumultuous panic, falling on their faces, pain-stricken like a woman in labor. Israel will be so as well, asking, "Where shall we go? What shall we do?" Right? Even Israel, even the faithful Israel, we will be terrified also. And God will respond, "Children, fear not. Everything I did was for your sake. Why should you fear? Your redemption is at hand." The final redemption is not like the first one, for the first redemption was followed by more pain and oppression by the nations, but the final redemption will not be. Anyways, I mean, what can we even say to that? What can we even say to that? This is like current events. Current events. I just was sent this. You're about to see a picture of the Saudi foreign minister. And he said, "We express our deep concern about the developments of the military escalation in the region and the seriousness of its repercussions. We call on all parties to exercise the utmost restraint and spare the region and its people the dangers of war." Now, keep in mind, they operated in synchronicity with England, with Jordan, with America. They are consulting with America. They are terrified. There's a reason that the Saudis were shooting missiles out of the sky over Saudi Arabia before they got to Israel. And it's out of, it's understanding that it's not clear if there was to be a nuclear attack, who that first attack would be on. Some could say it would be on Saudi Arabia themselves, and they know that. Anyways, this is happening because our hearts are with the God of Israel, we simply know the way this will all end. We may not know the details. We aren't supposed to know the details because this is a time of faith. And without the questions and without the doubts and without the fear, at least for mere mortals like me, not Jeremy, at least, there is no room or reason. There's no reason for faith to even be activated. There had to be that question. There were times we saw this with our forefathers. Jacob didn't know what happened to Joseph. Abraham actually thought he was going to be slaughtering Isaac. That is the real sacrifice. If it's not a labor of the heart, if we're not growing closer to God through all of this, then it's all for naught. He is doing this for us. In my Torah learning group with Rav Shlomo Katz, this has been circulating. And I wanted to share it with you. And I suggest that you print it up, that you fold it up, and you keep it with you always, or at least for the next couple of weeks. Okay, this is called the Mashiach Brachot card, right? Because there are blessings that have been decreed that one should say thousands of years ago for when Mashiach arrives. So you should have these on you in preparation. When hearing with certainty the Mashiach has arrived, you recite these two blessings. And it says what the blessings are. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who does good and goodness, who redeems Israel. And when there are throngs of Jews to greet Mashiach, 600,000, you say, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, Chacham HaRazim, the wise of the mysteries." As I'm having trouble translating these. When seeing Mashiach himself, you recite the following three blessings. And when seeing the third Beit HaMikdash and seeing the temple, you recite this blessing. And are you ready for this? And then it says, and if you're sharing this card with someone who has come back from the dead at Tchiyat HaMetim, the re resurrection of the dead, then they should say, "Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who resurrects the dead." Meaning, like, this is not abstract. We're preparing for this in a real way. This is the way people are feeling. This is what's in their hearts. This is what's on my heart. I saw this and I said, yes, I am printing this up. These are the times we're in, and I know that this is happening. And I'm bracing myself for the fear. And I know that there is more fear to come. I mean, it's just 40 plus years, Shane and I were praying, we're praying, we're praying, and then God gives us these three beautiful little fragile bundles of beauty and sweetness and cuteness and the fragility of them. There's just so much on the line. How could I not be afraid? I refuse to beat myself up about it. But as long as I am able to fortify myself and my heart and have faith within that, I think that's all we can really expect from ourselves or from each other. And so, my friends, there's just so much left that I want to say. There's so much, but I want to use this time for prayer. And hopefully, if Tabitha can, I would love to hear from any of you if you have what to share. But this is really is a time for prayer. So please, Hashem, please. We are here in the lowest realms, in a place of darkness and confusion and disorientation and instability. It's like a storm, a storm. We are outnumbered and we are outweaponed and we are alone in the world. And without you, there is no chance we could ever survive. And we know that we are your children. We are helpless. And we're throwing ourselves at your feet. We know we aren't worthy, but we love you and we're casting our lot with you and we're placing our faith in you and our eyes are only to you. Please, Hashem, it feels like we're out of merits. We run out. We deserve nothing. For your name's sake, Hashem, please protect your people, Israel. Protect the righteous of the nations that have been blessing us and praying for us and loving us. Protect the righteous remnant that loves you and stands with you. Protect them and their families. Protect the holy people of this fellowship and their families. Shield them. Gather them in with the remnant of your people, Israel, and bring them home to safety. Please, Hashem, let this be the great moment of your salvation. Reveal to the eyes of all of mankind that it is only you. It has always been only you. There is nothing but you. For those who wish to, you can repeat this after me. Ana Adonai Hoshiana. Ana Adonai Hoshiana. Please, Hashem, save us. Ana Adonai Hatzlichana. Ana Adonai Hatzlichana. Please, Hashem, grant us success. Adonai Hu HaElohim. Adonai Hu HaElohim. Hashem is the only God. Hashem is the only God.
To join the Land of Israel Fellowship, to attend our live interactive Zoom sessions, to participate in the Fellowship Connection Q&A events, or even just to binge on past sessions, click on the link below or go to thelandofisrael.com/fellowship and join our family of hundreds of people from around the world broadcasting light from the Land of Israel live from the Judean frontier.